Now you have to imagine what it's like for a quarter of a century to feed your daughter every 2 hours, 12 times a day, 2 a.m., 4 a.m., 6 a.m., to buy with money that you don't have, so borrowing and raising money in any way that you can, all the medication, and to learn how to give it every four hours, 6 times a day, and to have someone who was not on life support, who was being fed through a tube, but who was very much alive, whose stages of her coma were moving more towards possibly awakening someday, but all of the medical community said no. But that didn't make any difference, because unconditional love was at work. And I read that story about this woman and doing this for a quarter of a century, and I said to my wife, read this. And I read it to my children. I said, this is an astonishing story. And I finished it, and I signed a book that I had written a few years back called Real Magic, which was a book about miracles. And I also sent a check, and I felt that I had done something for these people. And then I went away to write one of my books, Manifest Your Destiny. And while I was writing, I turned on the television for the only time that I turned it on while I was over there, and a show came on announcing that there was a woman whose daughter's been in a coma for 25 plus years, and they showed her on television. I said, well, that could only be the woman I had just read about. And they showed the story. The opening scene was the mother reading to her daughter from the book that I had sent her a couple of weeks ago. And it said, this is a book about miracles. And I thought, there's something at work here. There's something going on that connects me to that. And I said, when I get back home, I'm going to make contact. And I got back home, and the first letter on the table with all of my mail was a letter from this woman. And she invited us to come down and to meet her and Eduarda and her other daughter, Colleen. And I began to learn more about the story. And I felt deeply moved when we walked into that room. It was like all of this unconditional love that had been shown over a quarter of a century. And there was something about it. They said that when Jesus would go into a village, when Buddha would go into a village, they said just his presence in the village and nothing more would raise the consciousness of those around them. To be in the presence of a higher level of energy, and I suspect many of the people that I'm talking about here in this program lived at these higher levels. And when we walked into the room, both of us, my wife and I, were deeply, deeply touched, almost to the same point that we were when we went to Assisi, where St. Francis performed all of his miracles. And when we walked in there, both of us burst into tears. And it really transformed us, our relationship, and our lives, just to be in that place where so much prayer, so much love had been given. And I decided, what can I do? And I went into a meditation, and the bottom line is that my wife and I put together a book. It's called A Promise is a Promise. And it's the story, it's the story of Eduarda and Kay and how powerful the lesson that they have to teach us about unconditional love is. And all of the proceeds and all of the profits go directly to them. And as a special treat, what I've asked is I've asked that lady to come down here tonight, and she has her daughter taking care of Eduarda. And she's here in the audience, and I'd like the world to meet and acknowledge this beautiful woman, Kay O'Bara. Kay, stand up. Indeed, a promise is a promise. And unconditional love is what I call what Bagger Vance was saying was the third pathway to wisdom. You've got to do what you love and love what you do, because ego is the world of the material and the world of what is mine. Spirit is the world of unconditional love. Pierre Teilhard of Chardin, one of the people I wrote about and speak about, said that the glue that holds it all together is love, unconditional love. It's at the source of every single cell of our beings. And when we are living from that, we move ourselves into a higher place wherein we can begin to become manifestors, become those who can literally create what it is that we feel is missing in our lives. And the fourth pathway, the beautiful fourth pathway that I have finally come to know and understand in my own life is called surrender. Surrender. You have to You have to surrender the little mind to the big mind. You have to, as they say in the recovery movement, anybody who's ever recovered from addictions, and today I am a camel, and a camel is an animal who starts every day out on his knees, and he ends every day on his knees, and he can go 24 hours without a drink. And there was a time when I didn't. And the way that I got past that in my life was not through any great discipline or even any great wisdom or even any great unconditional love. It was through surrender. Letting go and what? Letting God. And whatever God means to you.